Nobody that's been raped and kept their baby has regretted it, but at least the majority, if not all, have regretted aborting.
When I look at him, I've never seen anything but the love of my life, you know, this beautiful baby that I love so much. You know, I can't look around the room and see who was conceived with wine and roses and who was conceived on the street corner. You can't tell. You know, we're all human beings. We all have value.
Welcome to A Choice to Love, a Life Issues radio special to celebrate the sanctity of human life. Throughout the 2012 election cycle, the question of allowing abortion in cases of rape came up repeatedly. Some of the candidates were perhaps not as articulate as they might have been in explaining their views. But the fact that a life is always ended in an abortion remains true, no matter what the circumstances of conception. Today, you'll hear from people who have faced the issue firsthand, and you'll be moved by what they share. Your host is the Executive Director of Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis, and we join him now.
Liz Carl is a graduate student at the University of Louisville, but just 5 years ago, an event occurred that changed her life forever. In October of her senior year, Liz accompanied some friends to a college Halloween party in Lexington, Kentucky. She briefly met a guy, and when the party ended, he followed her home. He said he was just waiting for a ride, but while they were waiting, he drugged and raped Liz.
Do you remember the incident at all?
Whatever drug that he gave me kind of blocked my memory out. So the next morning when I woke up, I had a memory of crawling to the bathroom. I guess I just let myself believe that it didn't happen because I didn't remember it and I didn't want it to happen.
When did you first suspect you might be pregnant?
When a little thing called Mother Nature forgot about me. And taking the pregnancy test, having a positive test that not only confirmed, you know, that I was pregnant, but it also confirmed the fact that I was raped. Because at that point, I didn't have any memory. I was 17. No one's ready at 17 to have a child.
Did you ever consider an abortion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I knew all about the pro-life issue. I knew all about abortion. And at that moment, everything just went out the window. I had a problem and I needed to fix it. Not a baby problem. And I definitely made an appointment to murder my own child.
So what was it that changed your mind from having an abortion to not?
I set my alarm one night. I was fully planning on getting up the next morning to go to the abortion clinic, and my alarm didn't go off. And I overslept, and I just never rescheduled it. I like to think that I never would have ever done it, that I was just so scared and so vulnerable that I felt like that was my only option. I don't know, I guess it just clicked. I knew it was right, and I had to do it.
After choosing to not go through with an abortion, Liz decided to tell her sister Amy about the pregnancy on Thanksgiving Day. Amy was shocked, but encouraged Liz to tell their parents.
It was devastating. I just, you know, nobody wants their senior and high school daughter to, you know, to tell them. Nobody wants to hear that their daughter is pregnant. And then much less to know on how it occurred.
Was there any point where either one of you advised her to have an abortion?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Never would that have ever. And I'm so thankful to God she did not make that choice.
The pregnancy was extremely tough on Liz. She was able to finish school, but every day was a challenge. Even as her parents were pressing charges against the rapist, Liz was in denial about everything that was happening. Terry finally suggested Liz seek counseling. It was during these sessions Liz first considered the option of adoption.
When did you first consider adoption?
I wasn't a parent. I was just so young. You know, I wanted my son to be, you have like, you know, what I had growing up. So, you know, a mom and a dad, you know, stable household. And I couldn't guarantee that.
I wanted her to do what was best for her. Had she decided to parent, we would have supported her in that. You know, she
had already gotten a scholarship offer. She'd always wanted to go away to school. There was just so many things. She just needed to weigh what was going to be best, not for her child, but was going to be best for her too. You know, she had this agenda, and she used to say to me, "Mom, I just feel like maybe God's asking this of me so that I can enable someone to be a family." And I thought, wow. And if that's her agenda, that's what she's thinking, then I'm not standing in her way for that.
By making an adoption plan for her baby, Liz was able to give a loving couple the chance of becoming a family. The adoptive parents chose not to participate in this interview and asked to remain anonymous. But they're grateful and proud of the decision Liz made. They remained close to Liz during the pregnancy and were even at the hospital when she gave birth to a beautiful baby boy.
Well, take me back to the day that you gave birth.
It was a magical day. It was July 9th, now almost 5 years ago. It was a very medically perfect delivery. And it, you know, all the emotions that come, I was just so happy. He was just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It is almost unexplainable how much joy that you feel when you get to see your baby for the first time. Especially after all we had been through in the last 9 months, just me and him. So it was beautiful. It was magical.
When we return, we'll meet the head of a Christian rock band whose story had an unconventional beginning.
You're listening to A Choice to Love, a Life Issues radio special with your host, Brad Mattis.
Jason Lovins of Ashland, Kentucky, has been the frontman of the Jason Lovins Band for the past 12 years. His mother, Lisa, came from a typical Southern conservative family. She had no understanding of sex or rape at a young age, but all that changed when she was 15 years old.
Jason, tell me about what happened to your mom when she was only 15 years old.
When she was 15, she was raped walking home from the pool one day, and doesn't remember it. Months went on, and she was gaining weight, and people really never thought much about it. But my grandma noticed and even enrolled her in a weight loss program and went with her just so she would feel okay about herself, and still didn't understand what was going on. And my mom said one day she just realized something was just not right with her body. And she'll tell you, she was very naive for 15, didn't understand anything about babies. And so she told my grandma, "I'm sick, I need to go to the doctor." And my grandma, being a pretty slick lady, still hadn't figured it out. And they went to the doctor, and he come out and said, "Well, she's pregnant."
Was abortion ever a part of the conversation or equation?
Not for my family, but my grandma also tells the story about a lot of people, you know, giving her advice, even godly people who love the Lord, who just said, "You know what, in the case of rape, nobody would be upset with you if you allowed your 15-year-old daughter to have an abortion. It'll be okay. Nobody would think about it, and nobody would judge you for it. You should really think about that." And my grandma said she just remembers telling them, "No, that's just not going to be an option for us." She said, "I just knew at that point that the Lord had it figured out. He wasn't surprised by you, and He knew you were coming, and He knew that I'd keep you."
Tell me about your childhood, Jason.
I mean, I had it pretty good. Just, you know, normal childhood. Didn't really tell anyone about my story. I just remember not wanting people to feel sorry for me.
Don't feel you missed out on anything growing up?
I don't. My grandpa was really close to him growing up. I mean, he did all the dad things with me. And then my mom has a younger brother who is 11 months younger than her. And he always went out of his way to be a dad for me in certain things. I just had so much love coming from so many places. As I look back on it, I just don't think I ever missed it.
When did your grandparents and your mom tell you about the circumstances of how you were conceived?
I don't think I was more than 5 years old because I'm assuming that I just was probably starting to ask questions like, well, how come I don't have a dad and everybody else does, you know? I remember we had these bar stools in our kitchen, and I remember my grandma set me on the bar stool and explaining to me that your mom was raped, it was a really bad thing. I'm sure I didn't understand what rape was, but I guess I had a name to associate with what happened. But I just remember her telling me, this is why you don't have a dad, we don't know who it is, but you're gonna be okay because we love you and you have a heavenly father who loves you more than you'll ever understand.
Were they ever concerned that you might be traumatized over this knowledge?
They really went out of their way to make me feel just so loved and just special. Like, I always remember just feeling special.
Well, what made you start telling your story?
It just kind of happened when we started singing locally. I just started sharing it. And then after maybe the first or second time, I realized the impact that it had on people. And then I thought, okay, I have to keep sharing this because it's easy to talk about. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just a product of it. So it kind of pointed back to the Lord and how awesome God is to orchestrate things like this.
What kind of reactions do you get from people?
It's pretty neat. People just need to see that, you know what, they're going through something so bad, so terrible, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and through Jesus, things really work themselves out if you allow them to, and I've experienced that. So it's just neat to kind of give people hope through my story.
Coming up, we'll hear from Jason's band members about how his story has impacted their lives.
This is A Choice to Love, a Life Issues radio special with the Executive Director of Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis.
Currently, Jason and his band have recorded 2 albums and continue to play at churches throughout the country. Jason will continue to share his story, hoping it'll encourage, inspire, and change the hearts of his audience, just like it's impacted his bandmates.
When you first heard Jason's story, how did that affect you?
Well, it's funny. I've known Jason my whole life, and the first time I heard his story was actually the first gig I did with him, and I never knew. I mean, that's just how his family is. They just, you know, they never really wanted to feel people to feel sorry for him. So, and I really like that about Jason, like how he, you know, isn't like having a pity party for himself.
I remember crying, but the thing that really touched my heart, it was his grandmother's faith, you know, knowing that God was in control and that you just have to trust God and everything's gonna be okay. And that was the thing that really spoke to me, like, man, like, what a faith.
Has this impacted the way any of you guys have looked at abortion when it comes to rape?
It absolutely completely changed my mindset when it comes to that, because...
Well, what was your mindset before?
Well, I was skeptical, or I was just like, well, case by case, you know, I don't know, when I heard this story, it just clicked in my head.
I've always been pro-life. I've just always understood that God's had a purpose for everybody. Every human being has a purpose in life, and He's allowed it for a reason. It's a lot more more sensitive of a subject for me now, because I know somebody, you know, that's close to me. Jason's a great friend. I would consider him one of my brothers, one of my best friends.
Would you say that Jason put a face on that question of rape and abortion?
I would say absolutely, yes.
When you see Jason give his story during concerts, what kind of reactions have you seen from the people in the audience?
We get a lot of people will come to Jason or to us crying, and they say, man, I used to believe in an abortion, and this story just is changing my mind and my heart about it.
It's been 5 years since Liz gave birth, and her relationship with her birth son couldn't be better. As a result of an open adoption, Liz and her family get to spend a great deal of time with him and the adoptive parents. They've become a part of the family, and Liz couldn't imagine their lives without them.
You know, like we do Christmases, and we've gone on vacation together, and it's very open, more open than I would say most open adoptions. He has inspired me to be everything that I want to be.
I mean, obviously he's changed her forever. Because once you're a mother, you're always a mother.
In what ways? Good, bad?
Good. I mean, yeah, very good, all of them. But I think she looks at life differently, probably for the better. And I think, I mean, there's no love like a mother's love.
One of the reasons people argue for abortion in cases of rape is the children will be traumatized by the knowledge of how they were conceived. While Liz does worry about how her birth son will react when he finds out, she's confident his parents will make sure he knows he's cherished and loved.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. I know plenty of people who were in the same shoes as him, and they're still valuable, beautiful people. You know, I can't look around the room and see who was conceived with wine and roses and who was conceived on the street corner. You can't tell. You know, we're all human beings. We all have value. And I know that he'll see that.
The argument we hear from people when a pregnancy occurs as a result of rape is that this will torment the woman forever if she chooses to go through with the pregnancy. What do you say to all of that?
Well, I mean, she'll be the first to tell you she looks at that child and sees nothing but love. And I know she says that in her speeches. And I believe there's statistics that say that nobody that's been raped and kept their baby has regretted it. But at least the majority, if not all, have regretted aborting.
When I look at him, I've never seen anything but the love of my life. You know, this beautiful baby that I love so much. I've never looked at him and thought of anything else.
You know, some well-meaning people feel that abortion should be allowed in the case of rape. What do you say to them?
I think that an abortion is the worst thing in the world for a rape victim. People do say that an abortion is like a second rape. It's the re-victimization of the victim, and it's not, that's never good.
I believe that life begins at conception. Doesn't matter how that life was conceived. So if I believe that, then there would be nothing that could justify terminating that life.
Jason, why is it that people of genuine faith in their hearts feel abortion is okay for the case of rape?
You know, rape is just this terrible, terrible thing. And there's that thing of just the unknown, of not really knowing what's going to happen.
Do you think maybe it's compassion and concern on part of the women?
I think so, and that's understandable. I mean, as I said, even as a kid, I remember really struggling with this terrible thing that happened to my mom. Like, I wouldn't want her to have to go through that. But then I thought, okay, I wouldn't be here otherwise. So, you know, beauty comes from ashes. You hear all these things. And in my situation, the Lord knew, and I'm thankful that I came through the family that I came through.
Like Jason, Liz Carl has slowly begun sharing her story of becoming pregnant by rape and has seen the impact of her message. Liz's experience motivated her to study psychology, and one day she hopes to counsel women in the areas of crisis pregnancy, adoption, or rape. She knows her story can give hope to other women. She also wants to spread the message that pregnancy by rape can result in happiness and love.
What impact have you had on people when you told your story?
I hope a lot. I always felt that I was, that, you know, I've been giving this life for a reason, and that reason is to share. You know, you can do it. People tell me all the time, you know, you're so strong. You're so strong for doing that. And like, thank you, but all women are strong, and all women are strong enough to love their child enough to give them life.
Liz, what do you say to the young girl who may be in the same boat that you were in at that time?
It's gonna be okay. you know, for a long time I didn't think it was going to be, but it is. You know, it's just another part of your story, and it shouldn't affect who you are or who you want to be. I'm so sorry that it happens, and I hate that it happens to women, but I do know that you can get through it.
I would say, in a situation, if you're like my mom, not really knowing what to do, find somebody like my grandma, and it may not be your family member, it may be somebody that you know, but I would almost always think that you know someone who you know can really help you and walk you through that.
How many times a week do you tell your mom thank you?
We talk pretty regularly. Between her and my grandma, I'm pretty close to them. I kind of look at it as what I do, because it is a sacrifice to do what we do. It's not easy, but I look at that as showing them thank you as well as the Lord, that, you know what, I know that I'm blessed to even be here, so I'm really going to give my life to this and really just give it all I've got, because he deserves it, and you guys deserve it for, I mean, just going through this terrible thing. I'm gonna give back, and that's really, I guess, my heart behind it.
Liz and Jason have eloquently dispelled some common myths about pregnancy resulting from rape, and they've helped us better understand the other, often unspoken, side of the issue. It just goes to show God has a plan for every baby conceived, regardless of the circumstances. And never forget the many blessings babies bring with them.
So very true, Brad. And by the way, friend, you've been listening to a Life Issues radio special, A Choice to Love, with Brad Mattis. I'm Bill Wright. And Brad, you're not likely to hear this kind of treatment on the issue of rape, pregnancy, and abortion in the mainstream media. What should we expect their take will be on this, and what should our listeners keep in mind to help keep the proper, godly perspective?
Bill, we should remember the mainstream media is very biased when it comes to abortion. And they portray people who oppose abortion as radical or less than intelligent. But as Christians, we need to keep in mind that every abortion stops the beating heart of an unborn baby.
You know, Todd Akin was in reality a great pro-life ally in the political realm. He was unfairly caricatured by the mainstream media, but we did learn from him that we need to be prepared with the best argument for why rape is not a good reason to abort a child, just as we always must be prepared to offer the best defense of our Christian faith. So, Brad, how would you answer a skeptic who poses the same question?
Well, actually, the question is easy to answer. This program's effectively demonstrated God has a purpose for every child. And abortion conflicts with God's desire for that baby's life. It's wrong to impose capital punishment on or kill a child for the crime of his or her parent. The woman and her baby are innocent victims of this assault. Women I've spoken with who chose abortion after rape said they felt it was like being physically raped a second time. No woman I've spoken with who chose life for her baby after rape expressed regret, but many who had an abortion did. Life is a choice both mother and baby can live with.
You know, as we think and pray about the sanctity of life, we note that the Roe v. Wade decision was handed down by the Supreme Court some 40 years ago. Do you think we'll ever once again protect America's unborn babies?
Absolutely. I've been involved in the pro-life movement for 37 of those 40 years and have seen slow, gradual progress to end abortion. The effort to end slavery took years, and it'll be the same to stop the killing of unborn babies. But public opinion is now on our side, and the challenge before us now is to get Americans to broaden their personal pro-life opinions into support for pro-life candidates and laws to protect innocent human life.
And Brad, as we consider praying for the pro-life movement and the crisis of abortion facing our nation, what specific requests would you suggest?
Bill, I'd ask that we pray for all the mothers and fathers facing an unexpected pregnancy, that God would move them to choose life for their babies, to pray for abortionists and their staff, that they would have a change of heart and walk away from the abortion industry. We also need to pray for our president, that God would move his heart in the direction of life. And finally, please pray for the work of Life Issues Institute, that God would continue to bless us with the resources we need to minister to people in crisis and hurting souls who've chosen abortion.
Well, thanks, Brad, for today's powerful program. And friend, if you'd like to put faces to the voices you've heard today, we are pleased to offer you the DVD of the TV program Facing Life Head on which today's special has been based. It's yours at no cost through our Life Issues website, lifeissues.org. There, you'll also find a host of other resources and information. Just log on to lifeissues.org, that's lifeissues.org, and request your free DVD today. Well, Brad, your closing thoughts?
Bill, the idea of supporting abortion in cases of rape may at first seem the compassionate thing to do. But once we've thought through it, we realize abortion brutally and violently takes the life of an innocent child, and most often adds physical and emotional trauma to the woman. It's the assailant who should be punished, not the innocent victims. This is Brad Mattis. Thanks for listening.